listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello, boys and girls, and Caitlin Jenner. I'm Gary Somerville. It's Paddy Pigskin, episode 19, in association with DraftKings. My Giants are off this week, so less anxiety for me, in pro football at least. But it's a huge Saturday for college ball, and Saturdays are for the boys, which will have me equally stressed because my Buckeyes from The Ohio State University, ranked number 6th, take on the number 2 ranked Penn State in Columbus this Saturday. And I don't give a bollocks. It's the biggest game of the year in college football. And Barty is off on his honeymoon this week, the lucky bastard. And Jarrett is back in rehab. So what better week to have my good friend Matt Craig on the show. First timer, college special this week to chat about the big game going down in Ohio on Saturday. And some people in the Irish-American football community will know Matt from his work on the board back in Ireland and with the formerly known Carrickfergus Knights. Now he is back in the US. He works for Penn State in the business development space there at the university. And I'll let Matt talk a little bit about that himself more than I will. And yeah, he's in and around a huge NCAA program on a daily basis. So he's going to give a great insight into the behind the scenes aspect of what goes on in a huge football program. So myself and Matt, we're going to chat about Penn State. They recently went to Ireland a few years ago to play UCF in Croke Park in Dublin. We'll chat about that. Obviously, the big game and their superstar running back, who I think everybody knows his name. We'll get into it later on. And then I will wrap up with our Week 8 pick'ems. And I will finish off the show with our fantasy football segment, Paddy's Picks. So stay tuned for all of that. As I said, it's a college football special this week on Paddy Pigskin. So I'm going to do something different for the player dedication. And as it's episode 19, it's going to be for the great Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson was born in Sealy in Texas in 1960 and played his high school ball there in Sealy itself. He actually committed to Texas A&M originally for college before reconsidering and deciding amongst Oklahoma, USC and SMU, which is Southern Methodist University in Texas. And his great-great-aunt actually persuaded him to stay in Texas, and he ended up playing for SMU. He played at SMU from 1979 to 1982 and was part of the running game known as the Pony Express with Craig James and Charles Wagoner. He finished his college career at SMU with 790 rushes for 4,450 yards, 47 touchdowns rushing, and he also had 190 receiving yards and a touchdown. In his senior year, he finished third in the Heisman Trophy race behind two no-namers. I think they were called Herschel Walker and John Elway. Never heard them before. Apparently, they were good football players. And then he was drafted with the second overall pick in the 1983 NFL draft by the LA Rams, rather. He also played for the Indianapolis Colts, the LA Raiders, and the Atlanta Falcons in his last season in 1993. He had a very successful NFL career. Went to 6 Pro Bowls and is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So a little bit of a twist this week with our player dedication, mainly focusing on a college career of the most famous player to wear the number 19 jersey in my eyes, which is Eric Dickerson. So on the show with me this week, all the way from Pennsylvania, is Matt Craig. Matt, thanks very much for coming on to Paddy Pigskin to chat with us.
Hey, Gary, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, great to hear from you again. And you just actually got out of a coach's meeting, I believe, in Penn State. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's our public coaches radio show that we hold on Thursday nights here. So Coach Franklin addresses the public in one of our local restaurants here. Great atmosphere. You know, he engages the fans, takes questions and so on. So we get a little bit of insight into what he's thinking and how teams preparing for you know, this little football game we have, you know, just this little trip to that school in Ohio.
Just a small business trip this weekend. So just briefly before we get into it, how is the atmosphere this week with the game coming up?
You know, it's amazing. I mean, here in Happy Valley, obviously it's football season, and even in years where we haven't been as good as we are, we still average, you know, 100,000 people. But this past weekend, we're coming off of what we call a whiteout, which is 110 people wear white in the stadium. Even Kirk Herbstreit, a Buckeye alum, has called it the best atmosphere in college football. So wow, we're coming off that high this past Saturday. Game day was here for the first time in almost a decade. You know, so to go from that to be number two in the country, to put a hurting, on Michigan, you know, the best defense in college football, and Penn State made them look like a high school team. So to go from that to this week, you know, going into Ohio State, a real tough place to play, going to play again in front of, 106, 107,000 people in Columbus. The fan base is pumped up. I don't think there's ever been a larger traveling, crowd from Penn State.
Yeah,
to a game. I'm going to try to get a couple hours of sleep myself tonight, and I'll be heading out as well. So it's going to be fun. I mean, we're number two in the country, playing number six, and we're six and a half point underdogs. So, people, we want to prove that we belong there and that we belong on top of the Big Ten.
Yeah. So thanks for beating Michigan, by the way, last week. I was delighted to see that.
Yeah, we did that not just for ourselves.
yeah. There was a lot of people in the state of Ohio were happy to see that. So on behalf of all Buckeye fans, I appreciate that. So just to refresh our memories a little bit, obviously I know your history in the game somewhat, but can you tell us a bit about how you got involved with football in Ireland, first of all, and what did you actually do for the game there? As some people that know you did a lot. Some people that are listening to this show that don't know who you are might be like, who is this guy and what has he done for football? So can you tell us a little bit about what you did in the game of football and growing the game of football in Ireland?
Yeah, sure. Honestly, it kind of all happened by a little bit by accident. I was 25 years old and fell in love with an Irish girl, moved to a little village on a farm in Northern Ireland.
This sounds like an Ed Sheeran song or something from P.S. I Love You or something.
Right. It probably is. It should be if it's not already. But and I was looking, honestly, I played a little basketball over there. I was always heavily involved in sports, but I actually played other sports growing up. Did not play football, but to any high level anyway. And honestly, I started asking around and talking to people, and it took me a couple of years. I got fell into a player on the Carrickfergus Knights. And went to a couple practices and just fell in love, honestly, with those guys, with the team. Played there for a number of years. And then when my body told me it was done, or probably a few years after my body told me it was done, as I was strapped together before every game, glue and duct tape and wraps, I decided that I really wanted to get involved at the board level, started getting heavily involved in developing the youth system.
Yep.
I learned from here is that we're not really going to develop the sport in Ireland unless we start younger. It's sure. Hard to have 23-year-old rookies and try to develop that sport.
Yep.
So really tried to focus my time and energy on that. And then honestly, I was, as far as developing football there, very involved. Still, was heavily involved with the Knights at the time, but honestly, I was visiting a state college, believe it or not, for a buddy's bachelor party, and I was in the airport in Philadelphia, and the sanctions got handed down. This is August 2012, unprecedented sanctions for Penn State, for punishing kids that most of them weren't even alive when some of those things happened.
Yeah,
and I remember I was involved somewhat through IAFA with the Notre Dame Navy game that was going to be played in a couple of weeks after that.
Yeah.
And I had heard Bill O'Brien said at a meeting that he wanted to give the kids, the players, some sort of bowl type of experience since bowl games were taken away out of the sanctions and, whether that be Hawaii or someone else. And I had a crazy idea. I talked to a promoter that was promoting the Notre Dame Navy game on the phone that day and said, "Hey, I think Penn State might want to do this." And, previous administration would not have done this, but it was the right time, right place. We got Penn State involved. We got UCF involved. And then I spent the next year and a half promoting that game, both on behalf of IAFA and also on behalf of the GAA. Just kind of fell into it.
What was the connection with UCF? Because I know their head coach at the time, I think he might be still the head coach, is obviously a heavy Irish background he has. So Was it the Irish connection, or was there some inside contacts you had there that just made sense?
Both.
Column A and column B.
I will not take credit for getting UCF on board, but it just so happened to be that the week worked out that we were going to play them in the opening game. They were a team that was really trying to just find an identity, a big school, but not a big football powerhouse. And we approached them, Bill O'Brien knew Coach O'Leary, who has since retired, but they knew each other very well, both coached at Georgia Tech together. Bill O'Brien coached under Coach O'Leary. So they knew each other very well. They loved this, they both had strong Irish heritage, and I think the media really loved that and played that up a little bit. But
yeah, definitely, yeah.
I think it really was the fact that, all involved knew Penn State would travel and travel very well. There were nearly 20,000 Penn State fans coming from the U.S. and another few thousand UCF fans. But it really was a perfect storm. UCF went on a run that year, went, I believe, 12-1, won a BCS game against Baylor as underdogs. And that really set up a fantastic game. Coach O'Brien left. Coach Franklin's first game, people forget, was in Ireland, a win over UCF.
Which is crazy to think about. Like, your first game as a head coach for a team is not even in the country of the United States.
No, I remember when he took the job, I want to say it was late March, in April. It was late. Maybe it was a little early in that, but it was sometime late in the game. And, he sent over his contingency from Penn State. And they were told just to go over and kind of plan this game. They're like,
no pressure.
No, a couple of guys didn't even have passports yet.
Jesus.
So,
which is quite commonplace in the Midwest from my time living in Ohio when I first moved here. A lot of people around that area haven't ever left the US before, so they wouldn't have a passport. So it's actually a lot more common than people may think. That's such a foreign concept for people from Europe and Ireland. So we're born to travel almost, but I can totally understand that. Some of the guys may not have even had passports, which is, that's an obstacle that they have to get over just straight off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, and there were a lot of logistics of the teams. And I spent a year and a half working with the teams and promoting the game, but also just trying to get everything over. College football in America is such a
huge operation.
It's an exact science. It really is. I remember trying to source taping tables. These are tables strictly used to tape ankles, and they had to be a certain height, and they didn't have them in Ireland.
And it's just so small things you would never even think.
Right.
The planning and the effort and all the different hands involved that goes into something like a college football game day. It's like a military operation. It's crazy.
No, it certainly is. But it was I think it was fantastic for both teams. And really it was fantastic for football in Ireland. I think it was, just a well-received, great event.
Yeah.
And there's been other events since, but, I mentioned before we started the call that, working now at Penn State for almost 2 years now, every week I run into somebody who, I talk to about that game.
Yeah.
About the Pro Park Classic. Every week, someone, I see a shirt or something, and they just speak so highly of it.
Yeah.
Which is just phenomenal for me to hear that, and for my involvement in that, it feels good for sure. But,
absolutely. And I totally get that living in Boston. BC played last year against Georgia Tech and it was similar.
Yep.
I'm even going to the game. We're going to the game this week against FSU, but some of the games we've been at, people hear our accent and they ask us where we were at the game, and they said that they traveled over. And even when I first moved to the US, it was a couple of months before the Penn State game, and a lot of people in Pennsylvania or Penn State fans in Ohio they couldn't believe that the first game of the season that was actually in Dublin. So it sounds like a lot of people have a lot of good memories, and the attendance was fantastic. 53,304 people. So how was the atmosphere itself? Was it, surely you've probably been to a few GAA games in Croke Park, so you've probably heard the atmosphere of just sports in general in Ireland. Was it on the same scale, or was it a little bit louder, or how did it stack up against Irish sports that would have been played in that stadium?
I gained a lot of appreciation for the GAA sports while promoting the game. There were a number of occasions, believe it or not, even though I was much too old to do so, that I was the guy that put on the Penn State gear that had to walk on to a field in the middle of a GAA final.
I remember seeing those pictures and I was like, how the hell did he get this gig? They have him with a helmet on, the jersey. I'm like, how the hell did Matt get this gig? Strolling out there with all the gear on.
There's at the time, there was a journalist here in Pennsylvania that wrote, and I was obviously wearing the number 14 jersey and so on. And Christian Hackenberg was just coming in, you know, the year before as a freshman. And someone said, if that's Christian Hackenberg, he better hit the weight room. And of course, my friends saw this and thought this is hysterical. And I said, guys, you're missing the point. The point is that I passed for someone half my age at the time. That's what I took from that. But joking aside, I mean, working with the GAA was absolutely fantastic. And I think that, you know, really more than anywhere else in the world, there's some similarities between college sports in America and the GAA sports. You know, these amateur athletes, this is not their living, right? You know, they're either full-time students or, you know, in Ireland, they work full-time and then they do this at the end. And to have 80,000 people or even, you know, tens of thousands of people in a stadium watching amateur athletes, I think is phenomenal, which is why I'm such an, always have been a big fan of college sports. It was well-received. It was, the noise was nuts. You know, I laugh living here now with my family that, you know, my son's first Penn State football game was actually in Ireland. And I was running around the field and so on. I went up to the stands to hoist my son on my shoulders when Sam Ficken kicked the field goal to win that game in UCF. So on a personal level, it was just awesome.
Fantastic story. And definitely a fantastic story that he can tell for the rest of his life, that his first game there was in Ireland. So like you said, Penn State won with a field goal in the dying seconds, so they won 26-24. And I was just looking at some of the notable players actually that were playing in that game. You mentioned Christian Hackenberg, who's QB now for the Jets. Also Jesse James, tight end for the Steelers. He seems to be having some success there. Chris Godwin, who is now a wide receiver with the Bucs. And even we mentioned him on the show a couple of weeks ago, John Urschel, the old lineman who was actually a PhD candidate in MIT, and he retired due to the whole CTE concerns. So some really like notable players on the Penn State side. And even on the UCF, we got Brashad Perryman, who was a wide receiver with the Ravens. And Blake Bortles obviously had just left, so he wasn't there. And then they have Clayton Gators, I think his name is, safety for the Colts. So quite a good amount of guys that played in that game are now in the NFL and quite successful in the NFL. So that's good to, you know, the Irish people that were at that game saw these guys at the college level and now they're playing on Sundays in the NFL. So it's pretty good that they got that experience watching guys that, you know, went up to play at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a great demonstration of top level, you know, American football from the U.S. coming over there. And, you know, I really hope it continues because I think that it's well received. I think it's a great experience also for the players, the athletes themselves. All these kids have never been, you know, out of their home areas, and to be able to go to a foreign country and be received that way.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal for them.
Fantastic. And now it's going the opposite way now, because 2 years ago here in Fenway, and we have our new studio here right by Fenway Park. We had Dublin played Galway in the hurling, and now in a few weeks we actually have a doubleheader. So it's going to be two semi-finals and a final. And I remember going to it 2 years ago, and it was pretty much a packed house because the game was on the day after Notre Dame played BC. So you would have had a lot of Notre Dame people with Irish heritage and stuff going to the game. And now this time we have the All-Ireland champions and three other teams coming here. So it's kind of working both ways. The football profile is raising over in Ireland, and hurling and GAA, the profile is raising over here. So I think it's a pretty good trade that we have going on at the moment between Ireland and the US.
Yeah, I hope it continues, and I hope it continues to grow. It's phenomenal. It really is.
Yeah, and hopefully in the next year or two, I don't know, you may know more than me, but hopefully there's another game on the slate, because the game last year, I think, was almost a full house between BC and Georgia Tech. I think it might have had close to 50,000, if not more. So it's definitely growing, and with all the games in Wembley, four games this year, the whole profile of football, whether it be at the college level or pro level, is really starting to kick it up a notch in Europe and Ireland in particular. So, okay, so we'll move on from the trip to Ireland, which I'm very jealous, by the way, because my dad was with you. You hooked my dad up and he was there watching and he was sending me selfies and all that kind of shit. And I was very jealous that I got to miss out. So I'm glad you showed my dad a good time and it was a great win in the end. So we'll move on from that and let's talk about Saquon Barkley. You probably know who he is.
I haven't heard of him.
Apparently he's a pretty good football player. 20-year-old kid from the Bronx. 4-star recruit coming out of high school. And actually, I didn't know this now until I was doing a little bit of my homework. He actually originally committed to Rutgers. Did you know that?
Correct.
Or is that something that's common knowledge?
Yeah, it is common knowledge. Well, around here it is, anyway.
Yeah, so he made the right decision going to Penn State. So
he did. You know, there's a lot of talk. I think the country and maybe internationally, people are starting to know the name Saquon Barkley. But, you know, he had a very humble upbringing, and his mother moved him from the Bronx to PA. And he said his goal when he was, because he was actually undersized, believe it or not, even though he's one of the strongest, biggest, most powerful running backs in the college game today.
Yeah.
He was actually undersized. And when he was in high school, his dream was to play D3 college football.
Wow.
Division III. So, you know, for him to do that, he actually wasn't even the highest recruit running back in his class.
Yeah, I did notice that, all right. He was, 4-star recruit. So he's probably not even in, the top 25, top 50. Normally the top 25 guys would all be 5-star recruits, right?
Yeah, and I think he got the 4-star late, if I remember correctly. He really wasn't that big of a recruit. And he was committed to Rutgers. He switched to Penn State, and he weighed his time. And just through some injuries, you know, got some opportunities as a freshman. Excited people. Obviously, last year he had a big year. But, you know, he is phenomenal. It's easy for me to say that. Obviously, I'd be a little biased. But what I love is he's getting the national attention. And every time, you know, it's hard for people to watch college football. It's hard for a running back to actually win the Heisman.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's very, very challenging and difficult because teams can scheme around a running back and hold them down. And we've had some great running backs at Penn State that were, you know, in the Heisman race early on, but you have one or two bad games against good teams, and they go, oh, well, he didn't perform well against a good team. Well, he broke all Penn State's all-purpose records against Iowa, and then he just ran up and down the field against Michigan, which was the best defense in college football. So.
Yeah.
He is the real deal. I love watching him just because he is, you know, every week he does something a little crazy. But
yeah, it seems to be every week we see like another highlight play that he makes or something that's going viral on social media. It seems to be Barkley every week doing something. So he's definitely getting eyeballs on TVs, which is great for Penn State. They have this athlete that's really drawing attention to the program.
It certainly is. And I think what, you know, and Coach Franklin and the other coaches have always spoken very highly of him. And obviously he's a very, very gifted, special athlete. But I think what impresses me the most and people in this community and Penn State fans is the type of individual he is, all the accolades he's getting, all the attention he's getting. He's still a very, very humble young man. And it's very easy for all that to go to his head. And you see it go to a lot of young athletes' heads. And he's still very involved in the community, always willing to stop and take a picture with the kid, any of that kind of stuff. He's a humble kid. He's actually quite quiet, you know, around his teammates. But, it's great to see him doing well. And to, you know, I think the rest of the team feeds off of that as well.
Great. And speaking of the Heisman race there, so we have – it seems to be a two-horse race at the moment from what I saw of the votes that are in so far. We have Barkley, obviously, and then Bryce Love, running back from Stanford, who I believe might not be playing just before I think the game is just about to start soon as we're recording this, but he seems to be out tonight. And then you have Baker Mayfield, who I don't like after his shenanigans against Ohio State a few weeks ago. He's the QB there at Oklahoma. Josh Adams, running back again for Notre Dame, and Lamar Action Jackson, QB for Louisville. So it's very interesting, like you said, for a running back to win a Heisman. But here we are. There's three running backs in the top six places. And, you know, as it's such a passing heavy game in college, and also it's going that way at the pro level, it's fantastic to see running backs kind of getting that recognition again, because over the last few years, running backs are kind of slipping slowly and slowly down the draft boards in favor of, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers and all these other type of players. So is there a shift now in college football that you have these running backs are really starting to come on again and be in the race for a Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I mean, one is there was a number of years there that running backs weren't taken so highly. I mean, really, Zeke Elliott, obviously, and a couple last year as well. I think a lot of the NFL teams were starting to realize, hey, I can get a decent running back, you know, second, third, later rounds, and they can be starters for years. I think it's difficult to find a running back that is really a game changer, right? Yeah. You got to put the line together, need a good quarterback, et cetera. Sure. But I think, you know, as far as the Heisman race goes this year, I think the real issue is anytime we put someone up on a pedestal and say they're number one, you know, in the Heisman race, as soon as he has a bad game, we all of a sudden dismiss him. Yeah. Baker Mayfield is still a phenomenal quarterback. We have Rudolph at Oklahoma State as well. Lamar Jackson. How in the world can we say Lamar Jackson, Heisman winner last year, isn't a good player all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's crazy that like a couple of bad games can do that. So if say Barkley has a bad game, whether hopefully not for your sake, it's not this weekend. I won't be mad if he does have a bad game this weekend. But if Barkley does have a bad game with the run in to the end of the season, does it just straight out affect his chances for the Heisman, or is he going to get a little bit of leeway? Because at the end of the day, sometimes the gaps might not be there for him. You know, the defensive line that he's facing might just have the better of the offensive line that's supposed to block for him. It may not be his fault as much, whereas with a quarterback, sometimes when a quarterback has a bad game, it's on him a lot of the time. So if Barkley has a bad game, do you think he can get back on the horse again and win the Heisman, or is it just people will dismiss him, like you said, too quickly?
I mean, I'll say I still think he, whether, you know, wins the Heisman or not, I think he's still the best all-around college football player, you know, in the country. But as far as the Heisman race goes, it can. I think one thing that has helped him, if you look at his running yards, there's a number of running backs in college football that are ahead of him, and that's where Bryce Love, he's putting up these gaudy numbers.
Yeah.
And but this team's based around him. That's what he's doing. He's breaking some big long runs. I think they have a very strong line out there in Stanford as well. But Barkley's been able to impact the game in other ways. He has a touchdown. He's thrown a touchdown pass.
Which is crazy.
Big touching, kick return, and now today in the social media age, he has just filthy highlight reels of these things. You go, no, he did not just do that.
Yeah, how is that humanly possible that he just did that?
Right. I think it's probably his to lose right now. You know, if he has a tough game against Ohio State, it may. But I think, you know, they said that a few games ago. They said that against Iowa. They said that against Michigan. And so I'll tell you, I'm one that's certainly not betting against him these days. And I think, you know, what I like about him, of course, Penn State fans and the team would love to have him as the Heisman winner, but he himself would tell you that I'm sure that it's a team goal right now. You know, it's beat Ohio State, it's win out, it's to win a Big Ten championship and to get into the college football playoffs. And, and he'll be a first-round draft pick no matter what. So I really think that we all like to talk about the Heisman far more than the team and individuals are talking about it right now.
Yeah.
It's nice that he's getting the recognition, but
quarterbacks traditionally that win the Heisman don't really do that at the pro level. So sometimes, you know, it can be a bit of a poison chalice if you're a QB and you get that Heisman. It's like, the course is on him now. He's not really going to do that at the pro level. So it doesn't seem to be the case. The running backs, I think Mark Ingram won the Heisman, right, when he was at Alabama.
Correct.
Then Trent Richardson also won it, so it can work both ways. But we'll leave the Trent Richardson talk for another day. So, okay, we'll get to it. We're going to talk about Saturday's game. My Buckeyes versus your Lions. First versus, well, the Lions and Penn State are first versus third in the Big Ten East. I was looking at the odds you mentioned earlier on. Odd Shark has OSU. Ohio State are 6.5-point favorites. That was the last time I checked. And Ohio State coming off a bye week as well. They should be fresh enough. The over-under is 55 points. And this is what I love about college football, that the over-under is 55 points. So wow. I've been doing a bit of research. I've been looking at the stats and all those type of things. And I was looking at, you know, total offense and defense. Penn State, 27th on total offense, 9th on defense. They're 25th in passing. And surprisingly, this surprised me a lot. They're not in the top 50 in rushing. So what's all that about? They have a player like Barkley and they're not in the top 50 in rushing.
Just win, baby.
Fair enough. Don't need to say any more than that. So Ohio State, 3rd in total offense, which I'm loving. Total defense, 16th. They're 12th in pass and 18th in rush. So is there any of these kind of rankings, apart from the fact, which I was astounded about, that they weren't in the top 50 Penn State in rushing, is there any kind of, is there any rankings here that pop out to you as a potential, you know, area where one team may win or one team may lose this Saturday in Columbus?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I find it interesting with the, what did you say Ohio State was ranked defense-wise?
16th.
Right, so you have two, right, top 16 defenses in the country, and they're predicting over-under is 55.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
So I think, you know, one thing that pops out, it's well noted, in Ohio State, since that loss you don't want to mention, so I'll mention it over and over
again. No, go on.
Humiliating loss at home to Oklahoma, who then lost to Iowa State. But, you know, that I think that Ohio State, I'll give them credit, they're a different team. And I will speak positively for just a second in that they're still Ohio State. They still have freakish athletes. One of the top recruiting classes every year. Urban Meyer.
And a decent coach.
He's a genius. I mean, he is. he just is. And I think, and, you know, I look at that and go, how in the world can Penn State be 6.5 point underdogs? And truth is, Big Ten, you know, home field advantage is a real thing. And Penn State went and barely, you know, escaped Iowa with a victory a few weeks ago. Ohio State came to Penn State last year. We were unranked and knocked off Ohio State as number two.
Yeah.
Home field advantage is a real thing in the Big Ten. And so I think, you know, going on the road for Penn State's tough. I think, you know, I was talking to some colleagues today about this and some coaches that, you know, I feel like no outcome will really surprise me all that much. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Penn State, you know, rolls a little bit, but I think that the crowd's going to, you know, certainly keep it tight. I expect it to be a much tighter game. I think it's really going to come down to, and this sounds like an old cliche, but I think it's going to come down to penalties and turnovers.
Mm.
And it really may come down to who has the ball last, you know?
I was actually surprised to see that was 6.5. I was expecting it to be like, you know, field goal or something like that. I was kind of surprised that they were pretty much given a touchdown to one of the teams. So I was a little bit surprised at that. And you mentioned about the crowd and home field advantage. When you have 106 or in Beaver Stadium, like 110,000 people, like I have been to two Ohio State games. So some people ask me, why the hell are you an Ohio State fan? And I tell them, well, my cousin actually went to Ohio State. My cousin Sean, whose parents are from Ireland, he actually went to Ohio State. So that's why I'm an Ohio State fan. But I actually went there in 2014 for the first time. And I couldn't believe just the noise and the size of the crowd. It was against Cincinnati, so it actually broke the record at the time. It was like 106,000. I'd never heard noise like it. So I can only imagine if you're like a 19 or 20-year-old kid on that offensive line, or you're the quarterback under center or in the shotgun, trying to hear the cadence and if there's any calls or audibles, it's incredibly difficult. So I totally get it that the home field advantage in the Big Ten, where stadiums are so absolutely massive, I can totally see why that's a big advantage.
It is. And I think I still think 6.5. So, you know, I honestly think it's almost disrespectful of Penn State. I think that the media, really just gave, not the media, but the pundits really gave Penn State almost a little bit of a hold on a second here. We're ranked in the country. We beat Ohio State last year. We're the reigning Big Ten champs. We're you know, we just dismantled Michigan, and you're going to tell us that you're favoring Ohio State by a touchdown?
Yeah, I was expecting to see Penn State as the favorites. I had to do a double take when I saw that Ohio State were the favorites.
You know what? One of my things I've noticed, is just a personal opinion, is that I think last year Penn State, you know, played very well as underdogs. I mean, they're unranked up until that game after Ohio State last year. I think they, you know, they were underdogs at the Big Ten championship game. They were underdogs, you know, out at USC. They didn't come away with the win there, but that was a last second field goal.
Yep.
You know, I think honestly that a lot of these kids were used to playing as the underdogs, and this year has been a bit of a challenge. It's very different when you, and Ohio State's used to this, but it's very different when you are the biggest game on everyone else's schedule.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's looking to knock you off. I don't think the pressure's on OSU. I really don't.
I know how that feels, Matt, playing for the Dublin Rebels. That was every week for us. Everybody wanted to beat the Dublin Rebels, so I can totally relate.
I'm surprised we're not getting, we'll maybe get into that at the end of the call. I leave the country, the Knights finally make it back to the Shamrock Bowl and came up short with their boys. But
they're getting there. They're getting up to the next level, which is good to see. I'm friends with a lot of the Knights. Great guys, always have great fun with them, great banter. So I was delighted. It was win-win for me, really. Obviously, I wanted my own team, the Rebels, to win. But if they didn't, the one team that I would want to see win would have been the Knights. So, I was disappointed for the lads. And I would have been delighted for them if they won. So, but I still have to root for my boys at the end of the day. So I get it. When you have that target on your back, the way Ohio State have, everybody wants to beat those type of teams. So it's probably some good bulletin board material for Penn State to see that the media are giving Ohio State a touchdown on them.
I think it is. I think, you know, and I also feel the media has not really given the Big Ten a lot of love. And it's funny we say that when, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago when we had four teams in the top eight or something like that, or certainly the top 10 in NCAA. But they just haven't necessarily, the Oklahoma, you know, win against Ohio State a few weeks ago as hurt. Now people are thinking maybe Michigan isn't as good as they were. I think the Big Ten teams are very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just a lot of parity in the Big Ten, and that, you know, if for Penn State to run the table, it would just be a magnificent, you know, achievement. And honestly, you know, one loss going through the season with one loss in the Big Ten, it's not like other, you know, other leagues. It's just not other conferences. So, you know, I'm looking forward to a great game. I really am. I think it's going to be a hard fought, close game. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be who steps up. Is it Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley, or is it, you know, JT Barrett playing the way he can? And it seems like he's either hot or cold sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, he can be up and down. So I've identified a couple of playmakers. So for our Irish listeners that may not watch too much college football, this is a game you need to watch. There's serious ballers on both sides of the field. So I just jotted down quickly just a couple of playmakers. If they haven't seen Ohio State or they haven't seen Penn State play ever, or they're not really, they're kind of new to college football, I've jotted down a couple of guys that you need to watch out for. So obviously JT Barrett, this is his fourth game against Penn State, so he's definitely experienced playing against the Lions. 21 touchdowns and just one int in seven games. I mean, what more do you have to say about that? Pretty good stats. J.K. Dobbins, running back, true freshman, took over the running back job. He has nearly 800 yards and 8 yards per carry, which is, I would say that's a pretty good average. And then the D-line, so they're going to be getting after McSorley. They've got Tyquan Lewis, Sam Hubbard, and Baby Bosa. So Nick Bosa, who I only found out their dad is actually in the BC Hall of Fame, because we saw his plaque a couple of weeks ago. Myself and Jer went, and I saw Bosa. And I was like, hang on a second, that can't be Joey and Nick's dad. Turns out it is. Their dad is from the Massachusetts area. So that was a nice little bit of trivia information. So those are the guys that I've tabbed to keep an eye out for Ohio State. So, Matt, apart from the obvious, who are the guys that you would suggest any listeners that haven't watched either of these two teams playing this Saturday, who would you tell them to keep tabs on?
Well, I'll tell you, before I say they should look at Penn State, you just mentioned a handful of names there, and I'm going to mention a handful here myself. And your listeners may not know who they are now, but these boys are going to be playing on Sunday next year or very soon, a lot of these guys. You know, so they will know these names on both teams. I think that people know Saquon Barkley, they know, but what I liked last week was Trace McSorley, a 3-star quarterback, didn't have many offers, came to Penn State, and he is just a do-it-all quarterback. When they bottle up Saquon Barkley, he can throw and he can take off himself. So offensively, our 6-foot six tight end, Mike Gesicki, fantastic. I look out for him and our two receivers and Juwan Johnson and Deshaun Hamilton. Hamilton's taken over a little bit for Chris Godwin, who's obviously in the league. I'd watch them. And the defense side of the ball, you know, it's linebacker you.
Absolutely.
Still have great linebackers. Jason Kabinda, number 40, if you're watching. He's just a super, super smart player, fun to watch. Marcus Allen, number 2, character, safety.
Got the job done against Ohio State last year.
You guys might remember him and Grant Haley.
Him and Grant Haley, yeah. Don't really like to talk about them, but.
But, for guys who like, you know, guys who like defense, there's a lot of talk about these two teams on offense. But if for our listeners out there who really like defense, you know, watch these two teams. Both D-lines are going to get after it. Their linebackers are going to fly around. And if you want to see some good, clean, big hits done properly, you know, watch the safeties on both sides of the ball. As you said, even if you don't, I mean, you should be a Penn State fan. I should make that clear. But, you know. If you're just going to look for a college football game to watch because you're a football fan and you want to see, you know, 18 to 22 year olds playing their hearts out and good football, and this is certainly a game to watch. And if you're still a neutral fan, then you know you'll see why you should be a Penn State fan afterwards.
they're going to be wearing scarlet and gray by the end of this weekend, and that's the end of it. I have them already brainwashed, by the way. So I did a few sound bites already, and they're already brainwashed into Ohio State. So you try all you may, they're already going to be Buckeye fans. So I'm gonna push you for a prediction now.
Oh,
go for it! Hit me with it.
Oh man! All right. I've been thinking about this all day, and I think it's going to be closer than I want it to be. But I'm going to be bold, man. I'm going to say we're going in there. 27-10.
Wow.
Penn State's walking out with a victory. How's that?
How many have you had a few beers before you made this prediction, or you're just like
not enough?
Okay, you're sticking with 27-10.
Ooh.
So you're going with the under, because the under is the over under is 55.
I'm surprised that I know all the talks about both teams' offense, but I just have a funny feeling with both coaches. Ohio State having a week off. I think it's going to be a tighter game. It's supposed to rain up until at least kickoff, maybe a little bit into it, the game. And if it does that, I just have a funny feeling that both coaches and coaching staffs are going to feel each other out. And I'll be surprised if it's a high-scoring game.
Okay. I'm also taking the under. I'll give you that credit. But I'm also going to give the offense a little bit more credit. And I'm going 27-24 to the Ohio State Buckeyes. So we'll see how it fares out. It's on a 3:30 Eastern time, which is 8:30 back in the UK and Ireland. So like Matt and I said, make sure you check out this game. It's gonna be an absolute belter. I think you agree, Matt.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I still have to go pack here this evening.
Okay, so before I let you go pack, and we do cover NFL. Obviously, this is a college special, but we do cover NFL. So we're going to run through the week 8 picks. So you may have looked up who's playing who. You can just give me your gut reaction on who's going to win, no big deal. So this game will have already been played by the time people are listening to this, but for the sake of doing it right now, Miami Dolphins at Baltimore Thursday Night Football. Who have you got?
You know, I actually have the Dolphins pulling it off away.
Okay, I also have the Dolphins, so we're off to a good start. At least we're agreeing about something tonight, which is great. Then we have the London game in Twickenham. We have the Minnesota Vikings against the winless Cleveland Browns. Who have you got on this one?
Yeah, I don't think this takes a genius to figure this out. Even with Case Keenum at the helm, I just think the Vikings put the beat down.
Yeah, and they're playing really good defense, and now Joe Thomas is out, the absolute like most durable man on the face of the planet after like 10,300 consecutive snaps. He's out. So I got Minnesota as well. Oakland Raiders are going to Buffalo. A long trip up to Buffalo to face the Bills. Who have you got on that one?
Yeah, I really like the way the Bills are playing. And at home, I think they've been playing very well. A bit of a surprise in some ways. And I think they get the victory again.
Yeah, I've got the Bills as well. The AFC East is a lot more competitive this year, which is bloody great to see. Living with a lot of Patriot fans, you know, they're getting spoiled. So I'm happy to see some of the other AFC East teams competing. Indianapolis Colts at the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is a tough one. My head says one thing, but I'm going to go with the Colts. I'm going with the Colts. I need to have an upset here, you know, just like you try to pull the upset with Ohio State. So,
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with Brissett and the Colts.
Okay. This is our first disagreement in the picks. I'm going with the Bengals. I think they bounce back after Steelers' loss. And the Colts laid a goose egg against the Jags last week, so I don't know what direction they're heading in. Here we go. The LA Chargers at the New England Patriots, just down the road from me in Foxborough.
You know, can we skip this one? Because I don't want to tell you who I think is going to win, because I don't want to tell you that I think it's going to be the Patriots. I hope the Patriots lose, but I just think at home they're back on track. I think they win.
But you know, I'm a Giants fan, right?
Yes.
Okay, Grant, just checking. Okay, yeah, I think the Pats will win as well. And it's a 10 a.m. start it's going to be body clock wise, it's 10 a.m. for the Chargers. So, you know, that might play a factor. Yeah, I think the Pats win as well. Chicago Bears at the New Orleans Saints in the Dome.
You know, play a little better, but I'm going to go with home team, going with the Saints.
Okay, yeah. We all know Breeze puts up monster numbers when he plays at home as well. So I think the Bears' defense is looking great. I just think that the Saints will have too much, and I don't think Trubisky can hang with Breeze in a shootout at this stage in his career. Here's a tricky one now. This is a bit of a toss-up. The Atlanta Falcons at the Jets in MetLife.
You know, it is a tough one. I think I just think the Falcons, they haven't put it all together yet. I think they have too much firepower. I know it's, you know, at MetLife, but I have Atlanta.
Yeah, me too. Pretty much exact same answer as I was going to give. San Francisco 49ers, another winless team, God love them, against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, one, I'm an Eagles fan, and two, they're good, and the Niners stink. So I think the Eagles big at home.
Yeah, it is difficult to admit, but the Eagles are looking fantastic. And we have Jer on all the time. He's a big Eagles fan. So I have to listen to that shy constantly. But yeah, it's another bad road trip as well for San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I think this one could get ugly quite quickly. I have Carson Wentz as my fantasy quarterback. So it's one of those weird ones where you're hoping he plays well and you're also rooting for one of your rivals. So I think Philly win as well. Here's another toss-up and another juicy divisional game. Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think this one's a tough one. I really do. I think it's going to be a real close game, probably by a field goal. Looks like they have the line that way too. But I'm going to say the Panthers going on the road gets this win.
Okay, yeah, the Bucs are only favorites by 1.5. So, like you said, it's pretty much a toss-up. I have the Bucs winning this one, though. So, I got the home team here. So, we get to the late games. Houston Texans are traveling up to Seattle, one of the hardest places to play on the road to face the Seahawks. So, who have you got here?
This, again, is another tight one for me. I think Texans have been playing, you know, not bad. I obviously love their coach, former Penn State.
Of course,
Coach Bryan. But I just think the home, that noise, and the Seahawks have it.
Yeah, and I love Deshaun Watson now. I picked him up a couple of weeks ago. He's been putting up monster numbers for me. But I just think rookie going against that Seattle defense on the road, I just think it might be too much. So I got Seattle winning here. The Dallas Cowboys, another cracker here in the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Redskins. Dallas are 1.5 favorites here in Vegas. So who have you got?
So I think you and I both agree. Can it be a draw and they both lose?
I saw it. I always post that meme. Yeah. It's like the grumpy cat, and it's like, I hope both teams lose. That's how I feel about this one.
That's exactly how I feel about this one. You know, I'm going to go just because I don't want either of them to win, but I'm going to go actually with the Skins at home after this last week. I actually thought Cousins played pretty well against the Eagles. So I'm going to go with a small upset in the Skins at home.
Okay. And this hurts me very, hurts me deeply to say, but I got Dallas winning. And I think I need to have a shower after saying that. I just feel disgusting after. Who else we got? The late game Sunday night football, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Detroit Lions. Now, the Lions are one of those teams, they burn us constantly on Paddy Pigskin. We go against them and we go with them, and they always fuck us over. So who have you got in this one?
I'm gonna stay PA proud, and I'm gonna say that the Steelers on the road. I don't think it's gonna be easy, but I'm gonna go with the Steelers.
Yeah, I got the Steelers as well. I think their defense is starting to come back. Big Ben needs a little bit of help. He's having a bit of trouble there on offense. So I think the Steelers win as well. And then we'll wrap up Monday Night Football. Another juicy divisional game, the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Yeah, I think this one is that the line, the only touchdown. I think the Chiefs are going to run away with this one. I think they're at home. It's Monday Night Football. I think Kareem Hunt, and hopefully for my fantasy football purposes, is going to have another monster game. I think the Chiefs made pretty big, actually.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Really, really exciting to watch. They have their new team this year. They have a lot of playmakers with Tyreek Hill as well, and they've got one of the best tight ends in the game, Kelsey. Yep, I agree with you. I think Kansas City go to 6-2. So, great. Matt, thanks very much for going through the Week 8 games. We'll be talking some shit on social media, whether we'll see how each other does. And I don't know, do you think we should come up with a little forfeit for this game now on Saturday? I was thinking about it before coming on. I think we should have a little forfeit. What do you reckon?
Sure.
Okay, so go on. I'll let you tell me what I have to do. Now, keep it kind of PG. Like, we swear and drink on this show, but, you know.
Wow.
No pulling out teeth or shit like that.
I don't know. I think we should take it back to IAFA, and I think one of us should have to do something regarding the Rebels or the Knights. And I'm not sure exactly what that is. I don't know if we need to post something or not.
Okay.
I can't think of what the outcome should be, and I'm not really worried about it because I'm pretty confident. So.
Okay. All right. So when this goes up on Facebook page, we're going to put a vote out and we'll see what kind of ideas we come up with. You know, we're going to get some fucked up shit. So it's going
to
be interesting.
You bring the Knights boys into this. They've been waiting for years to get back at me in some way. This is going to be just wrong.
Okay. All right. So when this episode is posted on Friday, we're going to see what suggestions we get and we'll take it from there. How does that sound?
Sounds like a horrifically bad, great idea.
What could possibly go wrong? Matt, thanks very much for coming on this week. I really appreciate your insight into, you know, the kind of the behind the scenes side of a really amazing football program in Penn State. And yeah, may the best man win on Saturday.
Absolutely. You look, you'll be there. I'm sure we'll be talking. Thanks for having me. I think Paddy Pigskin is great. Love the concept. And anytime you want to have you back on to talk a little football, always happy.
Absolutely, we'd be delighted to have you. Thanks again, Matt.
Take care. Thank you.
Fat stacks. That's what it was all about last weekend. I won the Paddy Pigskin DraftKings Fantasy Football League, went down to the wire, but 14 guys in the running, and your boy Paddy won out in the end. So if you haven't joined us yet, we are up to, I think we're up to nearly 40 players now in the league, which is amazing. Loads of people joining up, which is fantastic. Both sides of the pond, So in Ireland and the US, and we're starting to up the competition now. We have a few prizes every weekend, so make sure you get involved. So it's week 8 now, and football season's in full swing, which begs the question, how is your fantasy football team doing? Maybe you drafted a dud in the 4th round, or your 1st round pick is on the shelf with a bum knee, or in many cases, Aaron Rodgers. The good news is it's not too late to forget the injuries and get back in the winning column with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. With DraftKings, there are many different types of ways you can play. You can choose between public contests, which I do a couple of those every Sunday, with big cash prizes, or private contests. Like I said, we have our league going on, very strong now, the Paddy Pigskin League. Shitload of people in it. We have the banter. There's a little chat function there. You can win some money. Basically, you have your $50,000 salary cap. You pick your players out of that. And yeah, everybody has good time, has a bit of banter. The bonus is, if you win money, that's fantastic. The best part, though, you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So picking a completely new team every Sunday, which is fantastic. There's no better way to turn your love of football into cash money this Sunday. So get to DraftKings.com now. Use our promo code, which is Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, to play free with your first deposit for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code Paddy to play for free with your first deposit for your share of over $1 million. So the minimum deposit is a fiver, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And one more thing, until the end of the month, for everybody from Ireland that signs up with our promo code and plays DraftKings with us, I'm donating a tenner out of my own pocket. This has nothing to do with DraftKings, out of my own pocket, to the Irish Cancer Society. So if you can, please sign up and let's raise loads of money for Irish Cancer Society. I think we're up to about maybe 300 to 400 euro now, which is fantastic. Better than I was expecting, to be honest. So yeah, happy to have you on board and play some week-long fantasy football with me and the boys. And we've reached the part of the show that you've all been waiting for. It's Paddy's Picks. So I'll recap week 7, probably my best week so far. Stats, as always, from NFL.com. Quarterback Carson Wentz, the ginger magician, had another big night on Monday Night Football against his rivals, and I guess my rivals too, the Redskins. 268 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had 63 rushing yards, good for 35.43 points. Running back, Mark Ingram, stayed hot on the road against rogerless Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. 105 rush yards and a touchdown, and 5 reception yards, good for 16 points. Wide receiver, Dez Bryant versus San Francisco, helped me win the Paddy Pigskin DraftKings League. 7 catches, 63 yards, and an amazing toe drag swag touchdown, good for 12.3 points. Tight end, this was my big win and sleeper week 7. But sadly, Jimmy Graham had his best game of the year. Well, the first half was crap, but the second half was great, of 2017 against my Giants. 3 catches, 51 yards and a touchdown. Should have been 2, really. Good for 10.10 points. Defense, Vikings versus the Ravens. Minnesota had 5 sacks, gave up 16 points. Good for 6 fantasy points. And Will Lutz, kicker, did the job in Lambeau for New Orleans. 2 PATs, 2 field goals. Good for 8 points. So I'm looking to stay hot in week 8 with my next installment. And don't forget, on bye this week, Arizona, Green Bay, LA Rams, my Giants, and Tennessee Titans. So please, don't be bleeding putting guys on your lineup that are playing for these teams because you look like jackass. Quarterback, still less than 60% of people on NFL.com are starting Carson Wentz. He's the real deal, lads. Got to start him versus San Fran. They've given up 23-plus points to quarterbacks so far, multiple occasions. Running back, Jordan Howard of the Bears versus the Saints. Even though he's been cold the last few weeks, I like him this week. He has the 3rd most touches for running backs, and the Saints are giving up 2nd most PPR points, 33, to running backs at home. Wide receiver, Keenan Allen on the road to the Pats. which is a good matchup on paper. Pat's D have allowed an average of 200 yards and the third most PPR points to wideouts this season. And now they have Hightower on IR for the rest of the year. Tight end. Someday Kyle Rudolph will actually help me out here. But I think this week in London versus the Browns is when he's going to do it. Browns give up the most catches to tight ends. They haven't got Myles Garrett now either. Bumping guys coming off the line. And they give up the second most points to tight ends. So start Kyle Rudolph in London. Defense, staying with the Vikings versus the Browns. I even have 2 D-linemen and Harrison Smith in my IDP league. That's how confident I am about the Vikings this week. Defenses are averaging 12 points versus the Browns. And the quarterback carousel continues in Cleveland. So start the Vikings D. And finally, kicker. Jake Elliott is killing it so far as a kicker in Philly. And I think he'll continue against San Fran. San Fran have given up 11 plus points to 4 of their first 6 opposing kickers so far. So start Elliott at home to the 49ers. And that wraps up week 8 installment of Paddy's Picks. Best of luck in your fantasy football matchups this week. I hope I keep on winning. And yeah, hopefully I win the league at the end of the year. So best of luck. Got to hit you with the social media shit before we finish this week and I get out your eardrums. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. We have a deadly competition going on at the moment. I'm giving away a pair of Breast Cancer Awareness Limited Edition Nike VaporJet 4.0s. These gloves are sick. I use the Nike VaporJets a lot. And for anybody that knows me playing ball back home, I mean, they did pretty well for me. Never really dropped much, so check that competition out. It's on our Facebook page, Paddy Pigskin. All you have to do is like the post, share the post, tag 3 of our mates, make sure they're following Paddy Pigskin, and we are going to announce the winner over the weekend. So if you're listening to this before Sunday, hopefully you get in there, you get your name in the hat, we're going to pick a winner. These gloves are fresh to death. We're also on Instagram, we're on Twitter. We put up our picks, general graphics, NFL news, all that type of shit. Check us out, Paddy Pigskin. And finally, wherever you're listening to us, thank you. We appreciate it. Please give us a review. We like hearing how we're doing. So wherever you listen to us, iTunes, Stitcher, where else we tune in, Google Play Music, even Podomatic, our host website. Please give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. We always like feedback. And yeah, episode 19, Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Peace!